regular COW Committee of the Whole meeting for April 10th, 2018. First item on the agenda is roll call, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlowski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
Thank you, council members. Also, let the record reflect that we also have our law solicitor, Mr. William Mason, and also our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, which is also the clerk of council. Next item on the agenda is item C, approval of special council meeting minutes of March 14, 2017. Council members, Katie, would you like to explain why this is on the agenda, please?
It was brought up last week that this was missing from the website. It was a recording error. Transcription company missed it. The recording ran into the following meeting, which I was not present for that meeting. So it was just a special council meeting. There was only one agenda item for executive session, and then it was adjourned. So
I believe it's for economic development at that time.
Yes.
So any questions or comments about the minutes?
Mayor?
Yes.
Thank you, Kay, for clearing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
People have been asking, you know, over and over. So I appreciate you doing it so quickly, too.
Absolutely.
Is there a motion to approve special council meeting minutes of March 14, 2017?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Kolograph.
I'd like to make a motion and ask for approval of the special council meeting minutes of March 14, 2017.
Second.
Second by Ms. Terlowski. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, vote on the motion, please.
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Kolograph?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Thank you, council members. The next item on the agenda is item D, approval of special committee of the whole minutes, meeting minutes for December 4th, 2017. This is where we discuss the budget for 2018. Who would like to make a motion for this approval tonight?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Cullen.
I'd like to make a motion to ask for approval of the special council meeting, special committee of the whole meeting, minutes of December 4, 2017.
Second.
Second by Mary Brenner Miller. Any questions or comments, council members?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Katie, on page 4 of the meeting minutes, in the third paragraph,
can you start off the top of the thing?
While we are talking about recreation, you have down there the third line from the bottom of that paragraph, the rec department plus 13, 1,000 for over. So I'm sure that's just a typo, but.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Vote on the minutes, please.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Here.
Kolograph?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Council members, Ms. Allen, you can't vote. You can vote present. You weren't at this meeting.
No.
Okay.
Or abstain?
Yeah, or abstain. It doesn't matter. So we have approval by the five council members that were present at that meeting. Thank you. Minutes approved. Next item on the agenda is item E, persons having business before council. We always open the floor for any comments or questions or concerns that our residents have. We give this opportunity for you to come to the microphone, give your address, and share your concerns with us, and then we try to find answers. If we don't find them at this meeting, then we provide them for you at our next meeting. So at this time, we open the floor for any resident that would like to ask questions. Also remind you, under each item on the agenda, we do offer for our residents to make comments as well. Please come to the microphone, sir. State your name.
Benjamin Blondin, 1683 South Meadow Park. I'd just like to commend council and the mayor for getting the Carr Brothers deal done, because it's, in my eyes, it's been a problem for a long time, just driving by that area and all the dust and everything. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Mr. Fox.
Please state your name and address.
Ed Fox, 7133 Allen Drive. Is the two-minute rule in effect?
you've got more than that, I'm sure that we'll work with you, sir. I'm sure someone else will give you the minutes if it's an issue.
I'll try to make it brief. I'm here to follow up on the discussion we had the other night about the relocation of the concrete crushing operation. Had occasion to kind of go through the development agreement between CIC, Carr Brothers, and the village. And in Section 2, construction of the project, there's quite a bit of detail in there supported by Exhibit C for the existing site, the green space provisions, if you will. And in Section 3, covering the maintenance of the project in the existing site. So when I looked through there, though, I was looking for things pertaining to the new site. And the only thing that I found in Section 2 was the village cooperating with the relocation of the concrete and rock activities, which I think as we move forward and really kind of close this thing out, I think that's important. And then in Section 3, where Cajun's Trucking has to maintain the natural tree line within 20 feet of the new site, in going over there and looking at that with the elevation and with the condition of that forest, which really doesn't seem like it regenerates that well, it just doesn't seem like that's much of a buffer, in my opinion. So when I look at it, it just seems like, you know, you've got $150,000 being spent on the front end of this thing, and then on the back end, to me, it's a big zero. And so, you know, that's just something that to me is a bit disappointing. I know that the village is going to put $200,000 in the general fund. So what I would do as a resident, and the other residents can speak for themselves, is appeal to the village as much as possible under Section 2 to try to positively influence that site plan, which is still to be determined, from what I understand, as much as possible in the view of the residents. Because it just seems to me, you know, with the CIC having a couple of residents as members, a couple of council people as members, and yourself, it just seems like there's something missing for me on the resident side of the project. And so as it unfolds, I would want to make sure that we would have the ability to look at the site plan, if possible, before it goes to the Planning Commission, and then also, you know, be aware of when it's going to be voted on by council. So there's a number of other things that I have here, and my neighbor John Webb at 7170 Allen Drive couldn't be here tonight, and you know we've got a lot here, and so maybe you know we'll have to do this at another time. But it's something that we're definitely going to be looking at, and you know you'll probably see a lot more of us until this thing's put to rest. But I would just hope that the residents would be maybe better considered in the future as we move forward. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Mayor, if I just
let me, we'll speak under council comments, okay?
Good evening. I'm with the previous gentleman. I would like to appeal to council and also to the mayor on more consideration for the residents. It just a quick check online. I have some information that I'll be emailing to all of the council members and to the mayor. I'd like you to take a look at. Nowhere, when I do any of the research, does it seem to be any beneficial. Any sort of beneficial news for residential areas. It seems as though there's four pages here of the risks, and if you just continue to search and search and search, you come up with the same thing. You don't discover any new news that would help out the folks living in the area. I know it doesn't look good where Carr Brothers has their area right now, but it's not, it doesn't seem to be impacting residential people of the population. The a representative of ours talked to one of the owners of Carr Brothers, who seemed to be surprised that we were upset. He thought everything according to his information, was going smoothly and really wasn't a bother to anybody. We live on 18851 Carmody, and the map with the red arrow is pointing right at our house and our yard. My wife's a wonderful, beautiful, undemanding person, and it's been breaking my heart this week that she's saying we're going to have to move. She doesn't ask for much, and she loved the home that we're in, but it's kind of hard to love it with the situation that's coming right next door, which doesn't go along with your happiness on the project, obviously, and you can't please everyone. I understand that. I'm just wondering if some of the facts could be brought out and answered. Do we basically stay in the house from now on during the summer when all the grinding's going on and all the residue's flying around? And the problems with the residue, as I said, will be emailed to everybody just for this one four-page little handout. Not do any outdoor improvements anymore because of the residue that will be coating the yards and the property. Again, I'm appealing to you, and I just, again, we can't all have the same ideas. I just don't understand why we'd want to do and impact the residents the way this project is going to impact them. And I just want to close with this right now. I was watching the news earlier this morning with Zuckerberg going to the Senate hearing, and one of the analysts stated, he said, Zuckerberg's going to have to understand he's got to relay to all these people whose information has been compromised that protecting his community, our community, is more important than maximizing his profits or our profits. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none tonight, we'll go on to council comments. Mr. Linville, you wanted to make some comments, sir?
Well, the gentleman that was here speaking to concerns about Carr Brothers, a memo for council would be nice. So that we could review it at our leisure to see, you know, exactly where you're coming from. So if you could send a memo to us, that would be appreciated by me. I know that. To the last gentleman I spoke, I would just say, you know, what would you have us do? I mean, Carr Brothers has been here forever, and they bought some property. And I would suppose they can, you know, it's their property to do with as they wish. So I've heard no ideas or what have you as to solutions to what the problem might be. That's all I have on that, Mayor. But then too, I've had several people over the last week, 2 weeks, indicate to me that they're concerned, and I've seen this too, because I, as you may or may not know, I walk a lot. So you see bicyclists not stopping at stop signs, okay? You see people not wearing reflective or bright clothing when they walk or jog, and people walking on the wrong side of the road. There was even a complaint about people at night walking without any reflective clothing or anything, and that's just asking for an accident to happen, really, because it's I know it's because all you got to do is just lose your concentration for like a little bit and something can happen. I know I during the day wear a reflective vest, and I always try to walk on the proper side of the road, which is facing traffic, okay. And so that's just, you know, I think we should look at this, Mayor, And we should have our police be aware of these complaints that have come out and have them act on them. They see a bicyclist not stopping at stop signs, give them a ticket, you know, or a warning or whatever.
Okay, so. If council's pleasure, can I respond to some of the comments that were made so you have some information?
Sure.
Is everybody okay with that?
Excuse me,
yes, sir.
Could I make one more brief remark?
Yes, sir.
Of course.
Ed Fox, 7133 Allen Drive. Councilman, you mentioned perhaps receiving a memo, and you were looking at me. I'm not sure if you were referring to me.
Yes, sir.
But if you would welcome that, I think, you know, the residents would be more than happy to do that, and that might be a very good vehicle
sure.
for us to list, you know, the sundry things that we want to talk about, because, like I said, I was trying to be respectful of your time constraint tonight. Sure. But I've got plenty here, you know, and I'll just look at a couple of things pertaining to the environment. I mean, we're interested in, with regard to the site, things like air emissions. We're interested in sound barriers. We're interested in how stormwater is going to be treated. We're interested in the fact that it's part of the Tinkers Creek watershed, which we're a member of that group, you know. So not knowing all of the ins and outs like you do, you know, what kind of obligation do we have to mention projects to them that could impact the watershed? So, you know, there's these myriad things. Some of them are very detailed and are probably engineering related, you know, like looking at permits, National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. You know, there might be a hearing period where we could participate and understand a little bit more about that process. So there's a number of things that go beyond the scope of sometimes what we're capable of talking about in here that we've been thinking about pertaining to the project. So I think a memo is a great idea, and I'm certain that we'll take it as an opportunity to oblige.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Mayor, if I may, one of my concerns has been you know, there's those woods back there in the creek. So I think we have to monitor that, and if need be, you know, have some kind of a barrier against the crushed stone. I don't think it will get based on what I'm hearing. I don't think that we have to worry about that crushed stone, but we have to monitor it.
Well, I mean, the only way we'll know is when we see the site plan and we see if engineers are talking about particulates and noise and dust and containment and all those things that you would naturally be interested in something that has a little bit of scale to it.
Sure.
So it sounds like we share some concerns. It's just a matter of how we're gonna formalize it.
Sure.
So I just thought it would be appropriate to follow up on that.
Fine, Mr. Fox.
Thank you.
I want to go ahead and say a few things so the council's on aware of this, too. We have maps here in front of you that show that the majority of all the rock crushing will be done up by the building because that's where the power source is. That's over 960 foot away from the gentleman's house on Carmony. That's on the maps. Iopolo's been doing rock crushing back there, which impacts Shaner Drive, for 23 years. Never once have we had a police report or complaint from anybody on Shaner or in the industrial area. They've been doing it for 23 years. They use the same exact company that Carr Brothers uses. They will do it three times a year. This is not an ongoing 24-hour session. This is three times a year during the winter seasons, usually when they do it, when the moisture is heavy in the air. All the rock crushing system has water suppression. They do have EPA permits that has to be monitored every 2 weeks, and it is all public record. You can have access to all that stuff. All this, like I said, has been going on for 23 years at Iopolo's, which impacts Shaynard. And we have residents here from Shaynard that this won't even come close to. All this is zoned. Is zoned commercial. It is zoned for that. The Bedford landfill, so you know, is up for sale, and they do have a buyer. And that's 19 acres, which would still be closer. And that property is buffered by Walton Hills property. We bought all the property around it to cause buffer. When we had a former council member that lived on Carmony or Allen Drive, he put in a 400-foot buffer only in this area. Everyone on Barkley Estates area has a 200-foot buffer. That was passed in 2004. That was, if Mr. Collengrath remembers that he was on council, I don't think Brian was on council.
No, I wasn't.
But that was the process then, only in that area, because I understand everyone's passion. I understand everyone's concern. You have been burnt by federal, by our government. Who hasn't been burnt by our government? But our job is not to impact you or not to impede on your property or to do anything to harm you. We weighed this out. We discussed this. We have hard facts that show the comparison of all the activity already taking place that no one ever complained about. And this is going to be the same, if not, only thing they're using on this other property, if you know the elevations, they're not going down by the creek. EPA won't let them. Our engineers have already spelled that all out to them. That's why they haven't given us a plan yet. Most of this property will be used for staging, where they warehouse their rocks for crushing. The rock crushing will be closer up to the building where you see the salt shed on the map. That's our old salt shed, because that's what their process was, to have shelter there. We, like I said, the lady that owns the building, Carol Lewis, on Hannah Parkway called me. Her property is directly behind this, and she wholeheartedly embraced it and understood everything that was being done. She understood that there was some misconception or confusion, but I have no problem calling a special meeting with our engineers and with the business owners and talking with every one of you about your concerns. We have no problem. We're not trying to hide something here. We're broadcasting it publicly, and we're trying to make sure that everyone's on the same page. That's why this council voted 6-0, because they knew of all these locations throughout that whole area. So what's going on in Bedford Landfill, the 19 acres, that's where you need to make sure that we have the Planning Commission in charge. That's where you make sure that we have buffers. So there's a lot of things that are changing here, and this is part of our economic development, and this is part of our growth of our village. We're not here to impact you, and I understand your passion because you've been burnt before. Maybe not you, just sir, because you weren't living here, but this council, not this council, but prior councils, sold property and built a building real close and tore apart trees and caused a lot of problems on Allen Drive, I believe it was. And it made everyone's tax change on Shaner and all the way across because of the impact. That was done by prior council. So we've done nothing on this council that has ever impacted our residents that we haven't discussed publicly or looked at. And I will tell you, council, I'm having a special meeting in the month of May about the First Energy property, and everyone will get a letter on that that's abutted that First Energy property, so they're aware of this. Because this misinformation or misconception, I got calls saying that we're going to pollute the lake, Walton Hills Lake. I'm blown away. How far is Walton Hills Lake from this area? And believe it or not, the study shows, if you said you did research, sir, children get asthma from the baseball fields from the dust. That's why we keep water up there, to keep the dust fields. Fred Nielsen knows that. He's been a coach all his life. So this rock dust won't be done between Memorial Day and Labor Day when the children are using the parks. So there's all different things that we're looking at.
We don't want to even get no dust near the park.
No, but I'm just saying it's 300 foot plus from the park, from the farthest end of this property. That's why I put these maps out here, trying to get everyone educated and understand the facts, so they're not miseducated or misinformed. Because a lot of times people are saying things. I heard one resident say, well, they're doing rock crushing 100 foot from my house. I said, where you live? Shaynard. I said, are you kidding me? But that's the comments. And that's the CNN fake news, or whatever you want to call it. But that's what we got going on. Council, well, you can all make comments now. Ms. Brenner, any comments?
I think everybody said everything.
Ms. Allen, anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Ms. Trelowski, anything you'd like to say?
When I spoke with you, you said that the dust, it's crushed with water. So then they give the reason to keep the dust down. So it isn't going to be. Don't be putting your for sale sign up. We wouldn't do anything to harm you, you know. All of us are here for safety. So you live in a beautiful community, it's going to stay that way.
Mr. Collengrath, anything?
Yeah. Just to mention a few things. I know me and Mary sit on the CIC committee along with some residents and the mayor. And, you know, if I had to look back, you know, and I talked to other council members, maybe if we did anything wrong, maybe we should have sent something out to the, if, you know, looking back, and because, you know, when something happens like this, you look and you say, how can you do something better? I mean, that's part of being a team, and as a council president, I'm the leader, you know, one of the leaders along with the mayor of the team. And me and him said, yeah, you know what, if we should have did anything, we should have sent a letter to the residents that are closest to that. Okay, so I admit that. I mean, like anything, if I could go back, that's what I do. So Ed, as far as your comment, but we hope to iron a lot of stuff out in a meeting, these kind of meetings too. So you don't have to look at it as a 2-minute thing. I know this council and councils before, as long as it takes for someone to voice their opinion, I know as myself, I have never stopped anybody from voicing their opinion. That would be the defeat and the purpose of our job here. But I know one thing that I guess maybe I was aware that, you know, Aloplo, I won't use the other concrete, has been doing the same type of process for years back there. And I've walked that property a few times. In fact, I just walked it again yesterday and drove back just to kind of think, because I know, Mary, we've been very involved, and the mayor being with the CIC committee too. Talking to different people, I think what we're getting confused, there's a lot of dust when you go down Northfield Road. We know that. And I was trying, the first thing is the dust from the rock crushing, or is the dust from that existing site that's up there? Okay?
Concrete.
The existing site we see. And the conclusion I got is, because we know they do only do the rock crushing 3 to 4 times a year, that's actually the site up there. Okay, those big trucks come in, there's dust all on there, they pick it up and it needs to be watered down more. So I kind of separated that, we did some research on how that operation, the rock crushing, takes place, and there is a water suppression system on there different than that parking lot, which you got to have a water truck all around. Okay, so I guess where I'm at, like the mayor said, well, we're going to do it at different times so we don't have dust. I'm hoping we don't have any dust, okay? Because I don't want to avoid something, I just don't want to have it. You know, there's ways to, if there is dust, then we got to make sure they do something to suppress it. More water, somebody mentioned buffering,
yeah,
or whatever, screening, which there is ways. Now, if you look at the other cement company in the village, they just use that water suppression system when they have a contractor come in and do the rock crushing form. And both companies use the same company. So just that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Mr. Spitznagel, you want to say something?
The only thing I have to say is that when these people get their plans in place, we need to notify everybody, all the residents around there, and that the plans are put in. And notify them of the meeting so they can all come, all attend to the meetings, every meeting that they have concerning this, and we get this right the first time. Because if somebody puts something back there, the cars live by me in Walton Hills. They live, you know, just around the corner. They don't want to do anything that's going to impede their fellow residents. I can guarantee you that. But we need everybody involved, and we need everybody's knowledge of what's going on, so there isn't any misinformation. Mm-hmm. Or I would have the concern too. Yeah, believe me, I'd be sitting right there too. So don't think that we don't appreciate your level of concern. So that's the only thing I would ask, that everybody be kept fully informed on every step of this process.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Conger.
And just to make a point, in my development in Barclay Estates, when they were doing our house, just like anything, and that's why you understand, we do, and Councilman Spitznagel is correct, you have to hold the businesses to the fire and the contractors. We had specifications for a buffer zone there along Regency Drive and the size of the trees, and I get a call from, I don't know if it was my wife or someone, said, what, the trees look awful small, and we jumped all over it. We had our building department out there right away. So we do understand that. I mean, I understand that sometimes what people say they're going to do and what they promise, unless you have it in writing, you can't enforce it. And we understand that, and we'll be specific when we get the final site plan.
Any other comments?
Mayor, I would just reassure the people, too. I've seen instances where council members report the fact that an old tire, is in a front yard, and you go by a few days later and that tire is gone. You know, so that shows that you have a conscientious council up here that's watching the village and that's vitally interested in the beauty of the village, too, because we have a stake just like everybody else. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, council members. No more questions, comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
My understanding is once the company has their plans firmed up, they come to us and we approve it then.
First it goes to the building department.
Right.
Then the building department sees if there needs variances. If it needs variances, it would go to BZA.
Okay.
Then it also goes to our architectural review board and our engineers. And then the engineers always ask for site plans of stormwater retention, they always ask for drainage, they always ask for elevations in their drawings, they always ask for specific things that are required by Ohio Revised Code. After all those things are met, then it comes to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission, which is made up of one council member, Mary, you're on that, correct? One council member and then three residents, right? Three mm-hmm. residents, mm-hmm. and then our engineer and myself. I'm the chairman of the Planning Commission. We discussed this in planning in order to divide this lot up. The Planning Commission, and one of the gentlemen on our Planning Commission is Mike Hopkins. I don't know who all knows Mike Hopkins or not, but the gentleman's got 100 years of concrete business in his blood, okay? And he was the one that laid out these designs so it didn't impact the creeks and so it didn't impact this. And the engineers, they worked on all this detail. Because it was just wasn't a willy-nilly drawing. We had several meetings. That's why I said we talked about it since 13. Our goal was to take our land and the Bedford landfill land, get it all cleaned up and turn it into another industrial park or turn it into more growth for the village. Because then you would have close to 25, 30 acres and you can attract a big business mm-hmm. and get more work. That never materialized with Bedford landfill. So we have our own land. And then there was questions with Transtar and investing and staying in our community. So this is where all this conversation came from. And so the Planning Commission will give the final approval. Then it comes to council as a resolution. The council approves the final approval of the Planning Commission.
Okay.
So it always goes through council for everything. Just like before we sold this land or before we closed this deal, it went to CIC, it went to council, it went to planning, it went back around three times in different conversations and different things. I was looking in my records. This particular whole area here has been talked about since 2013. Our journal, it was in almost 17 different times that we can count. And it was also in our State of the Village when we talked about projections of what we're going to do with the landfills and this and that. And we never did get to that point, but these were projections that we have talked about. So go ahead. Any other questions?
Well, my question is then, Planning Commission seems to be where it would be most effective. Would you be able to let the residents know or even send a letter to a couple of representatives, if that might be Mr. Fox and Mr. Webb, and they could let the rest of the residents know and so that they could sit in and maybe find out what's going on right then and there, and that way that information is going directly to the residents from them.
I've already spoke to Mr. Fox, and he knows that I'm going to notify him as soon as I have a plan for me.
Okay, great.
Even before it's ever discussed at the meeting.
I just don't want them to feel like it seems like for the residents it feels like it's an after effect. And I realize, you know, that you said that it's been how many times in the journal, but people read ordinance on this, blah, 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 and it doesn't give a lot of information, so they don't see that it's going to impact them. you know, and you don't have the entire village showing up to a State of the Village address and talking about that, you know, for a few minutes, even if there's one or two residents, may not catch it right away that, wait, this is going behind me, you know, things like that. So I appreciate that some of the residents can be in with the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. Well, Planning Commissions are public meetings just like this.
They're all public, no different than a zoning.
So, I mean, you can have...
If they know when that specific Planning Commission meeting is.
Yeah, I get that. But I just want to make it clear that everybody can come.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be a few. I mean, if this whole group wants to come, anybody come. Zoning meetings and Planning Commissions, they're just like this. They have to be posted within a 24-hour notice. And they're open meetings.
So I just feel like that fake news thing hits home, that's all.
Yeah. Well, I think, Mr. Mayor, I mean, it's more of a, you know, concern of the unknown,
right.
You know, and it's very understandable. I said, I'd be sitting there, too, trying to get information as to what's going on. So, let's make sure everybody's in
keep
the loop
informed.
We've got a great Planning Commission, like you said, Mike Hopkins and everybody on there. So, you know, they're going to, pardon the pun, leave no stone unturned in this. But before it ever comes to us for a final resolution, it's got to go through them and go through all those steps. So.
Mayor, too, if this is important and you want to leave your name to get a copy of the final site plan, I will make sure that you get a copy of it once it's there. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Council, next item is item G. We just discussed everything. Is there any questions?
Can you go back?
You want me to read it again? But there is a map here, and there's any questions. And if you feel that you're not comfortable with this information, we'll have a special meeting directed to this conversation. I have no problem with that. Just tell me your pleasure. I've never shied from any information, nor have I hidden any facts. So if we have permission, can I move on to the next item, everyone? Yeah. Okay with that, item H. Item H, review of the BZA. Council, in your packet, I put the wrong information, but you have the new information in front of you. The reference about, it was recommended by the BZA, and after you should have it in front of you if everybody sees it. It's just a one pager. This is to review and take under consideration that the Board of Zoning Appeals and our zoning board, our zoning inspector, to change the language. Right now, the way it is, when you build a home in Walton Hills, you have to have it faced in brick wrap around the basement so the concrete or the cinder block is not exposed. And now with this new homes that are being built down on Walton and also on Alexander and some other areas throughout the village, they're using what they call poured, and I'm not a contractor, so maybe Don, you could help me out with this, but it's poured basements where they change the dye in the basement and it's one color solid. And right now they have to go to Zoning Board of Appeals in order to get approval. And it's a cost and it's a time-consuming thing. So there's a recommendation that we change the language. So I don't know if you want to do some research on it or look at other communities because, you know, technology changes and people do different type of building styles. And we can leave it as is. It's your consideration, and you have a recommendation from the zoning board and the zoning inspector. So I open the floor if there's any comments or questions.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I would just like to understand the new way that they're pouring floors a little bit differently, and then maybe we can put something together. I mean, if it's going to just be cost money just because it's in a delay your home building because of something new, I don't see any purpose in that.
I'll try and get you some more information
just
about
so
the forming.
Right.
The one on Alexander Road right beside John Ratter across from Gospel House.
Yeah, I'm seeing we're watching.
That looks really attractive, what they're finalizing there. And I guess they put the dye in the concrete so it doesn't look like concrete now. So it's coming up.
You can have patios poured like that look like stone and things like that.
And it's through. It's on the inside of the basement. It's also on the outside of the basement. All one color, instead of it looking concrete. This ordinance, I think, was passed. I don't know when it was passed off the top of my head. Oh, 2009. It was cleaned up. It looks like. But this ordinance was to wrap our homes have brick wrap, so you don't see that ugly cinder block. You know.
Right.
It's one of our requirements in our village. It's not just facial. It's all the way around the house.
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. You just answered the question. I mean, what we don't want, you don't want, at least I feel, you don't want just cinder block, or if it's a poor basement, you just don't want a smooth
concrete.
Pattern. You know, some of the, they're requiring whatever form they use to have look like it's brick, and then they color it, which makes it more attractive. Otherwise, what we have now, they either have to, if it's a smooth, they have to put some kind of stone or you know, face it some way, or it has to be brick, because we just don't want block either, because block, and I agree with that, you know, especially what faces the street.
Yeah.
So the best, so it, whatever we come up with, it has to, I would not change it if it's going to be just a poured smooth concrete, or we would just allow masonry block.
I'm sure we've got to put some kind of language in there, say texture or approved by the zoning inspector or something like that. You can't let it open-ended.
Because if there's a lot out of the ground, and what people do is if they have siding, they just fur it out and they bring the siding up over the...
The concrete block.
Yeah, which still makes it more attractive than just regular cinder block or a smooth concrete, which you don't see. Usually they form it and, so maybe we'll have to get something from Don Sheehy, you know, or...
I can put together more information. I just, under consideration,
right.
It was recommended by the BZA, just something that they had a meeting, and that's what came up for conversation.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's, I asked you that question at the end of last week, because I saw the materials from the from that meeting, and what they had submitted looked very nice to me, and I'm thinking, why don't we have that? And in the BZA's suggested wording, they suggest a poured concrete foundation with brick or stone pattern cast into the outer surface shall be considered as brick or similar masonry material. So that's fine by me.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
That does it.
That sounds,
that's how they have it written up already.
You know.
Mayor, is this legislation?
But you have to keep this.
Is this something that we should consider doing?
You know, if it's not poor,
I would
then you have to keep
three
reasons.
I would definitely do three.
Well, yeah, it's just
no, that would just be
no time sensitive.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I have a coworker, and she had her driveway put in, and they formed it that it looks like brick, and they stamped it.
An explanation to this.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so if it's on the same concept as that, I don't see where there'd be a problem.
You see that a lot in Florida.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
My understanding is that when you have a poured foundation, in the footer walls, things like that, that it's much more durable than the old concrete blocks were. Along with that, the reason that we would have had concrete blocks finished is there would be maintenance continually on that if they were exposed on a home foundation, whereas this is virtually maintenance-free then, just as a brick finish would be. So I think the suggestion by the BZA is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? I'll open it up to the audience. Any comments on this changing of the ordinance or taking under consideration changing the ordinance?
You got a comment right there.
Come to the microphone, give your address.
Another lady. We have a lady.
Benjamin Blondin, 1683 South Meadow Park. I've been a cement mason for 15 years, and you guys are on the right track. It is structurally superior. It does look better, and you can dye it any color you'd like. So I think it should be changed. Thank you.
Thank you. Please state your name and address.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Blondin made us say, we're still allowing block foundations.
Yeah.
It was just the facade, You see, I'll discourage you. I like a block because if you have a cracked wall, you can repair it a lot easier than concrete, you know, can repair a wall.
No kidding.
Barbara Hall, 7550 Walton Road. I have the poured walls. You can come and look at my house anytime you want. The basement looks completely finished with the brick. Inside, it's like a gray. We painted it. The outside is white brick. So if you want it, it's wonderful. So I would recommend it highly.
Thank you.
You're going to feed us, too, if we come over?
Yeah.
Stoke up the grill.
Any other comments?
See, we didn't ask Mr. Blondin to feed us.
Okay, Council, I see no more comments from the audience. Council, I'd like to have this drafted up and put it on for first reading for next week's council meeting.
Yeah.
And then it gives us an opportunity if we need to change it or whatever and go from there. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Next is item I, inside millage. Council members, I did write a memo, if I can find it. Hold on for everyone. I'll read it into record. Okay, here it is. Thank you, Kate. Dear council member, our goal is to sustain the village economics for short-term as well as long-term sustainability to allow our community the ability to thrive into the future. We have several different resources that make Walton Hills a solid investment opportunity for businesses that wants to relocate or to grow their existing business. Please see the list of following examples as to what we offer the interested party. These are just a few of the things we offer. We have the lowest municipal property tax. This is where we need to make choices about if we want to increase it, and if we increase it, if we still want to stay competitive with other communities. We have great location from the interstate access. We have every incentive that the state offers on our books. We have local incentives, for example, the CRA, the TIFs, the land tax abatements, the JCI GP, the job creation incentive that we just recently alluded to last year with Todd Industry. Our village infrastructure is solid in most areas throughout the business district. We need to use any further increase in the municipal millage tax as an opportunity to improve our industrial areas, such as, but not limited to, the roadways, curbs, and other improvements throughout the whole corridor, because they're starting to break down. We have an excellent location between two major cities, Akron and Canton, or Akron and Cleveland. We have great locations to water ports. We have great access to two different airports. We have great resources in electrical power and demand that some investors require that most communities can't offer. We have positive zoning in place to protect the future of Walton Hills. These are only a few different variables. I'm sure there's quite a few other ones if everyone would dig into it. Village of Walton Hills Council, would you please consider, when deciding to increase our inside millage, increase the municipal millage from 0.3 mils to 3.3 mils, which would be a 3 mil increase. This would allow our community to be third lowest in Cobb County and still remain competitive with Glen Willow Village. This would this 3 mils increase would bring our total to 3.3. I wrote this so you have a direction from the mayor and a recommendation from the mayor. On the back sheet shows all the municipalities. I'm sure most of you have this list already. But this is where the market is that I was looking at that we compete with. We compete with Glen Willow. We compete with Solon. We compete with Oakwood Village. These are all access communities that if we raised it up too much, then we wouldn't be competitive. And that's why I wanted you to use these variables. There's a lot of things going on in Walton Hills, and you're all fully aware of it. I will tell you with the recent announcement with what's going on with the Roxino will benefit Walton Hills in the future. Everyone should see that writing on the wall. And also, we also have, I've just notified before this meeting that we have a Canadian industry base looking at the Manaway Manufacturing. They're right now in current discussion, the one on Sagamore Road, the one on Northfield and Sagamore. So there are people reaching out and looking at our options that we have here. So I open the floor for any discussion that you would like to. And I know that Katie included in the packet all the different scenarios that everyone requested in the millage, correct, Katie? I think it's on the very last page. Yeah. The very last page that everyone had requested, it shows you where you would collect on your agenda.
Okay.
So, because that was requested last week, and that's why I put on the agenda for everybody to have a scenario of all the different millages and stuff. Of how much our utilities would pay and how much residents would pay. and how much our commercial properties would pay. So if we went with three mills, then this would generate $419,000.
An additional
to what we're gathering correctly right now, right? Yes. So it would add revenue of $377,000 on the three mills I'm looking at. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at 2.7. I apologize. So the three mills that we would, if we took my recommendation, it's council's consideration of what you want to support. This would give us an opportunity for the public utilities to pay $137,000, our commercial $101,000, and our residential base $212,000. Correct? And that would generate $419,000 to our overall, give us the ability to borrow money for infrastructure, give us the ability to do road projects, give us the ability to work towards the sustaining our village long term. So it's open for the council's comments.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Ms.
Katie, this report 52, is this as of?
Today.
Today.
And I'll just mention it looks a little scary, only because we have a lot of purchase orders we open for the entire year. So till we have more revenues coming in, you're not going to see a true, true balance. But we are still around cash balance, roughly as of today, around 600 and almost 700,000. But we are going to have a large influx coming in with collections through the end of this month. So I'm also expecting reimbursement from NERSD for two of the projects we did, the Walton Road Stream Restoration and South Meadow Park. There's been a delay in being reimbursed, so we paid for those in 2017. So it will look as though it's revenue coming in this year. I can't offset last year's payments. So then we also, this it reflected in our revenues, we have not received payment on Carr Brothers, so that's another $200,000. And also the property on Northfield, the $17,000 is not in the revenues yet either. So.
Mr. Mayor, but we're only going to see three payments from the JED, right? Because we did get one more in 2017.
Yes, we technically had five in 17, so we will have three this year.
Okay, and that's reflected in here too.
Yes.
Okay.
Those payments. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Those payments from the sewer district, the two payments. Mm-hmm. What do those amount to? The one is for $70,000, is it?
One is $70,000. The other, I believe, is I want to say $60,000. So we're looking at $100,000.
And we're talking about for that back in the back. So that's
$130,000.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it'll be over $100,000.
We didn't do the project without their approval.
Yeah.
And there's one we're looking at this year. On South Meadow Park with removing the road pipe. If you remember, I've talked about that. That impacts about five residents there. And we won't do that until everything's approved, of course. But the study's already been done. That pipe has to be made bigger.
Yeah.
Because of the flooding on all that creek and everything. So that's a project that will be funded. Hopefully, we'll get the return this year on that.
Yeah, as of right now, after the projects have been paid, we have about $37,000 in our fund through April collections on the stormwater fee, just for your information.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes,
just for, I know some of these residents have been at last couple meetings, but we did pass a budget, a balanced budget, but we had no capital projects in it. So that's why there's a lot of concern. And I think, and it's a balanced budget with about $7,000 on the plus side, which isn't nothing. You just have a couple things happen in the service department, or as we know, we do need some major road repairs. So this, we did balance the budget, but there's no capital in it. So that's why there's a lot of concern about the inside millage.
Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Lindholm.
I hope I don't get any goofballs or rotten eggs thrown up here, but I'm going to support.
We'll move back.
I'll support this legislation because, we have to keep our village up. I mean, it's pure and simple. We can't do it any other way. And we do have the wherewithal. I would guess, for me, it's going to cost me somewhere between $14 and $20 a month to pay my portion. But, you know, it's something that we have to do. We have to sustain the village. We can't do anything else. And if you want to continue to see our village look like, quote, paradise, I've heard some people say, by the way, I say that too, we have to have money. So, and you have to pay for stuff. You don't go to the store and just go and fill your card up and say, okay, I'll see you later, and push your card out. You got to pay for that stuff. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Collingraf.
I know in our last, since we've been talking about this, a few meetings and more than that, but we started, originally was the 2.7, mm-hmm. plus yes. we're at 0.3, we were talking about, you right. know, three.
Three bills total.
Yeah, and I see now, which we asked Katie for, to run it right. out even more, to 3.3. Now the 3.88, that is the max that we can do without a levy, right? Which is 500. But then it takes away the economic development part of being attracted to the businesses.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, I have no problem supporting it. We can always roll it back. And the reason is we have a lot of good things moving forward, but even so, we can talk about the Ford property and that happened, but realistically, we would not see any revenue from that. Even if they approved that today, just to get a building up, you're talking 2 years out. I mean, we can, you know, just realistically to look. Manaway, that's different when you have an existing building and you move someone in. But we fall what usually, even if that business moved in, we'd be still at least
still 4 months behind.
Yeah, I was going to say 6 months yeah. behind in collections. So, and this actually wouldn't go into place till 19 either.
Mayor, can this be also under three readings? Is it time sensitive that we could do that?
It's council, yeah, we have until
July.
I think July, so. It's council's pleasure what they want to do, but we can amend it at any given time. We've already said that at the last meeting. But the legislation is prepared, but we want everyone's comments. And if we do it April, May, June, that's 3 full months of discussion and conversation.
Well, ideas from the villagers would be nice too, Mayor. I mean,
I'll open it up to the residents yeah. after everyone on council has their opportunity. Any other council comments?
Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Just that. I said last week, and I'll say this week, I'm going to vote for it. I don't like paying any more than anyone else, but we have to do this to keep our judiciary responsibility and have a capital fund and be able to keep this village going. And as we all say, we can always roll this back. So I'm going to say yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mason wanted to say
something. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I just want everybody to note that the amount of millage that is left in the village is 3.58, not 3.88. It's, you know, it's taken in consideration with all the other jurisdictions yeah. that have taxes overlapping on the village. It determines how much is left. So the village has 3.58 remaining unvoted tax.
Max.
But would it make our total 3.88?
That's
right.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
I've heard, Mayor, couple of my colleagues mentioned rollback too. I would lead the charge on that if we find ourselves a way to do that. Is I would push hard for rolling back, and I guarantee I would do that. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah,
just to I've been against raising the inside millage, and one reason I felt just because it's. Once something's in place, it's a lot harder as a body. This body, we can all say it, but we might not all be in place. That's why I pushed hard and was in favor of the levy, because the levy had a term on it,
right.
and it would have to be voted on again, okay? But it didn't pass. We're moving forward economic development, but our expenditures are exceeding our revenues, and the reason is because we lost some of our biggest businesses. It's not because we've trimmed the budget. We're down thing, and you know, we could get rid of everybody in this staff, and it wouldn't even be enough. I mean, when we did the inside when we did the levy, that was a big levy, but it was needed. Even if doing this inside millage and getting 419, that isn't a lot of money. It really isn't. I mean, it's important because we want to keep us economically competitive. But if we don't get these businesses coming in and get some payroll tax, we're going to have to do something else. So I have no problem doing it. I wouldn't be in favor of going over, you know, either the total of, you know, the 2.7, which would make it 3, or the 3.3, because I think it's very important that we stay competitive. And when we're talking lowest, we are the lowest right now, 0.3 out of 59 or 60 communities in Cuyahoga County. We are the lowest. We'd still be within, what you said, fourth, Mayor? Let's see, one, two.
Third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fourth. We've been very fortunate that we've been able to fund over the years, and including myself, have reaped the benefit of it through our payroll tax, where a lot of communities don't have businesses, and they fund everything with the taxes from their businesses and their residents. If you look at the list we have, you can see those, and you go through those communities, and you know they're more residential and maybe retail. And those jobs just don't pay you well. It's because communities survive on payroll tax unless they're taxing the residents. There's only two ways to get your money. You either get payroll or it's your millage on your residents. So I think we're at the point we don't have a choice. So I would support it. I would roll it back, and I think we're in the just have to keep doing what we're doing. And if we have to cut more, as Mr. Spitzenagel suggested, but I think we're kind of at the breaking point. We still got to keep this village viable, right. Keep it a nice community for us all to live in, attractive too. I mean, it's a tough balance. It really is. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Spitzenagel.
Yeah, just going off of that, a lot of you weren't here when we went through the budget, and I made a spreadsheet looking at cash flows in different areas of the village, service, the administration, the court, recreation, and you're welcome to email me. I'll forward it. I have a PDF of that. I'll forward it to you if you want. I was praying that something would jump out at me, and that was the smoking gun in this thing, and say, here it is, right here. We can cut this out right here. There isn't any. If you look at it year over year, some things have gone up a little bit with the cost of living and that, but most of that stuff has come down, and there's nothing egregious. And I had come in here, and I had made a suggestion to get rid of lay off two service employees, put the court clerk to part-time, and do a couple other things. And we could do that. And I've been wrestling with this. The problem with doing that is that, as Mr. Collegraph kind of stated here, it doesn't really impact the major things that we have to get done. We could say, we've made that little tick on the efficiency scale, maybe. Efficiency, I don't know. I've been looking back in 2013, we had three service employees. And we had, I believe it was 13, it was either 13 or 14, then we had four the following year. But how much work were we actually getting accomplished? And as Gloria said, look, I have not looked at the overtime issue at that point. So that's, that mathematics has to be done. But even if we did make that little tick, which would, maybe making people feel good about that is a bad way of saying that, because I don't feel good about laying anybody off. But it still doesn't address the $500,000 a year we need for our roads and things like that. And there's going to be things. We've got old service trucks, old plows. They're going to break, and those things are expensive, and we got to pay for them. So I've been really wrestling with this back and forth. I do know, looking at all these things, that we have to... I've been sitting up here long enough to know that this budget that we passed, that $7,000 surplus, it isn't going to be there long, I can guarantee you that. It's just, that's just the way it is. Something's going to happen. So that's where I'm at with this. I'm still digging into my desk. It looks like a bomb hit it with all these spreadsheets and papers and everything. But we'll keep plugging away and try to squeeze every penny out of that out of this operation. But the operation is so small, it's, you know, you either want the operation at this point or you don't. Do we want a service department? Do we want to just hire part-time people to come in here next fall and do run the snow plows, you know? Hire out all part-timers to just coal patch and that's it. You know, that's the point where we're at, really. So that's all I have to say about it right now. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more discussion on this.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Dorosky.
I agree with the, you know, increasing the inside millage. I have no problem in going to the maximum, really. I see, you know, where we would be, fourth or whatever. But we are unique, too, with 110 acres sitting up there, then the one over here with the utilities companies. Those are large, large pieces of property. What's going on with the Roxino now? I mean, businesses are going to be jumping up and creating things. I worked with a lady, and she moved to Las Vegas. She works where they make swizzle sticks for the casinos. So everything, you know, that you're going to, subsidiaries of what's going on up there. So I have no problem going, you know, with the 3.3, but I would go for the maximum myself. We're putting a Band-Aid on stuff with the service department with their trucks and everything. We cannot lay off any more people, you know. We have excellent people that work here. They work very hard, but we can't just, you know, cut back on the services. We all want those services. It doesn't work shorting the work week because the overtime kills you. So I would vote for the 3.3, or I could go to 3.8. It wouldn't either way for me. I don't think being the fifth is going to make any difference. When someone wants that amount of property up there, I think they're going to come in. And we don't really have any properties here that are vacant. They're all basically people are interested in them. So I think we're in a good position.
Any other comments from council members? Ms. Allen, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, just one.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Open it up to the audience.
Yes, sir. Just one more comment. And Mr., you know, we talked a little bit even about 32 hours with employees, and I've seen that over the years. And what it does is, you go to 32 hours with your employees, you lose a lot of good employees. I think we all can agree that there's a few things that make Walton Hills special, and that is, of course, the Country Home District. We all like the 1 acre. Big discussion is we like the idea that you feel like you have a park in your backyard. We all agree on that. Our services, okay, when the levy didn't pass, and we took our police down to what the contract, the union contract said, the minimum of 10 police officers, which eliminated 2 full-time police officers. We were worried about that because one thing everybody shares, I think, in this room is we love the safeness, great police response, and also the service from our service department. We don't have to sit up here and say the school system's not going to attract residents into this village. We all know how we feel about that. We spent money over the years fighting that. We're still, as a council and a mayor, looking into avenues to improve that. That's something the mayor's been working hard on behind the scenes, and we still hope that something comes out of that. But I think we can all share that it's the low taxes, so we're trying to still keep it low, even though we're raising the inside millage. The beauty of the community, probably the most beautiful community in Cuyahoga County, I even think it's prettier than Valley View, and our services. You eliminate the services, we take our services down to nothing. You take our police, well, we have a contract, so we can't go below that minimum staffing, but we could take away some of the things we supply them. Nice cars, good benefits, and you can go to recreation, which I didn't even touch on. A lot of people feel we have a nice recreation program. You take those things away, and what do we have left here? Okay? So I think that's the big thing is, at the same time, you got to keep the community nice, keep it viable, keep it safe, keep good services at minimum cost. And that's where we're at, and it's a tough thing to do. So are we putting a little bit burden on our residents? Yes, including everybody up here. The advantage you have with this inside millage, we are putting a burden also on our businesses and our utilities here, which have reaped the benefit all these years of having the lowest property tax in Cuyahoga County. So we are going to get some money from them, which really helps. So just kind of want to tell you where we're at. But the big picture, I know we talked about from the other residents, the big picture. The big picture is to still keep this a nice community.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
One more thing that, you know, I've heard from some residents a little bit of misinformation from time to time about what we pay people here. We had, there's a study done. I used to have an apartment in Chicago where they routinely paid their cousins $150,000 a year to be secretaries. We don't have that here at all. As a matter of fact, our service department is one of the lowest paid, not only in communities like us, around us, but in the state, and our dispatch people. We have a problem where we've had some people leave because they can get a job doing the same thing for a lot more money. So that we're in that phase of where we are in our history here in Walton Hills. We are very, very competitive on the low end as far as we'll call ourselves a business and paying our employees. So I'd like to get that stymied. There is a report, and it is a public document, and anybody's welcome to ask for it, and you can see exactly how we measure up.
We did that report last year.
Yeah, and that was done by an independent
company. Yes. I did that before we started going through the whole headaches of everything else. So our council had a grasp of all the costs of everything we have. That was done in, I think, November of 16, and you had it all through 17, and that's where we made our decisions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, and our police contract, which we just did, it has a 0%. It took a 0% the first year increase and a 1% and a 1%. So a 2% over 3 years, that's really almost unheard of in the that type of workforce.
That's unheard of anyway.
Our police have been the very first to step up to the plate every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
All our employees have pitched in. Our employees never paid health care. Now they pay 15%. Our employees haven't had raises in several years. Everyone knows that. They used to get 6 weeks vacation. Now they get 4 weeks vacation. These are all things that we've cut. We've reduced by $1.6 million. We've broadcasted it. We're preaching to the choir. Council knows this. I'm going to open it to the residents at this time, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
Any residents want to come forward and ask questions or any comments about the inside millage? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Raymond Whedon, 19346 Rochelle Drive. Mayor, I have a couple questions before I make comments. Well, first I have a comment, question, and comment. And the comment was, tonight we did hear a lot of passion regarding the whole Cajun trucking and car enterprise. And the discussion that took place tonight, I think, went a long way toward making the residents, especially over there, feel a little more included. And then this discussion, I felt like we were just parked on the site again. Because you, in your letter that you read, we don't have that information. So, and when you get down the road, and it may sound like the community is getting fake news, it's actually that they're not getting the news. So we want to make sure, especially for this discussion, when we're talking about raising taxes for all of us, that we all have the right information. So the questions I have is in the letter that you read or your recommendation, I want to make sure I'm clear on two points. And early in the early portion of it, I think you said something about this inside millage should go toward building the roads in the business community. Is that? Could you reread that?
Yes, sir. Our village infrastructure is solid. It says we need to use any further increases in municipal millage tax as an opportunity to improve our industrial areas, such as, but not limited to, the roadways, curbs, and improvements throughout the whole corridor. Yeah. Because you're impacting the resident, you're impacting the businesses as well, because they're complaining about the roads as well.
Okay.
But this is not just going to be exclusively going into industrial. I just wanted to bring it up that we've done no industrial improvements.
Okay. And then the other question is, could you restate what portion of the, was it the 419? I'm not even sure what the number is. What dollars come from where with the new millage? What portion comes from the residents?
It's on the agenda. It's on the agenda on the back page. If we go with 3 mills, as I recommended, and 3.3, I know it's right here.
It's not in there.
We don't have that.
Okay. You don't have that.
We don't have that.
It is residents would pay $212,000. Commercial businesses would pay an additional $111,000 and $746,000. And the public utilities would pay an additional $137,297. It would generate $419,000 to our bottom line.
Okay. So that's why I wanted to get clear on those numbers, because in this instance, the residents will pay the bulk of the increase. And that's why I wanted to be clear about where those dollars are going, if it's going to build new industrial parkways.
No.
Okay. But that's the information we need so that we can be clear and that we don't speak wrong when we're talking with our neighbors. Those of us that are here will be your messengers when we leave tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other question I had is as it relates to the Cajun trucking and then now the potential new sites. How can the residents be more included early on in the process? Now, I'm with Don. I'm in the Barclay Estates, and with the 200-foot buffer, I'm going to be very concerned at whatever happens with that 110-acre site. And the other question, the question I have for the village is not only about the residents being involved, but what role does the village have as it relates to helping to shape what that site might be. I know we don't own it, but in terms of the village's vision for the future, is that part of the discussion with Ford and any potential developers? What is it that we would like to see there? I know we hear a lot of discussion about manufacturing. Manufacturing today is not the same as it was in the past. With automation, artificial intelligence, you can have a large building. That does not necessarily mean you're going to have a lot of employees. Last point, we've heard that traffic count in this village has gone from 4,000 in one area up to 18. Where are those people going? Are they all going through the Roxino, or are they just passing through? Is it time to have some visioning around some of those cars stopping along the way? I'm just throwing it out. They're going somewhere. And I don't know what in the last point, you also mentioned something about we all know what's going on with the Roxino. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that reference is. I know I threw out a lot, but what is that one all about?
MGM bought the Roxino for $1.06 billion.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to us?
That what? Who said nothing?
It's a real estate transaction. The honeymoon stage is over. So I totally agree. I'd love to know what's going on with the Roxino. I mean, no one's parlayed that into anything in 5 years.
Because we don't know.
Okay.
Well, it's referenced that we do know more than we do.
We changed the zoning to control what goes on with development, and also that goes through planning, and we have things and restrictions in place for the Ford plant and all the corridor from Alexander Road to Sagamore Road. And to feed off of the MGM investment, they are a major player, and they are in conversation with other investors about other parts of our village. I cannot go into specifics of addresses or zip codes, but I can tell you that it'll affect Walton Hills. That's the best I can do legally without being challenged. If you can't read between those lines, I apologize.
Mr. Mayor?
When I put it out there, Brian, for you guys, when the transaction, that was the generic statement they asked me to put out.
Oh, no, I was
about the optimistic and the possibilities for all the improvements for the whole corridor. Mm-hmm. The Roxino is 110 acres. They sold the racehorse, everything. Now, that's 110 acres. It's 94% developed. So now why would you have $1 billion spent in one community? I'm having a meeting on Thursday with everyone about this. That's the best I can tell you, sir. Now, okay. What was the other question? But I'll answer any question.
Well, the question is, when it comes to things like that and the potential development of the that big, large, partial, well, empty right now, but the
when that
to be
happens,
redeveloped.
We will share that with you.
So going back to tonight's earlier discussion, it was very clear from the residents in Carmody, Allen, and up in that area that being included or having some part of that discussion of knowing what's going on before it happens, before it goes to planning and BZR and the council, is really what's stated tonight. And as a concerned resident from the Barclay area, I'm saying the same thing. Before we get to the point of there's going to be a new manufacturing plant or whatever goes on up there, we'd like to know if it's a Roxino related, if it's hotels, if it's retail, whatever the case may be, how can the residents of the Barclay area be included and know up front before it comes to a final vote? That's what I'm talking
long
about.
Long before it's ever come to a vote, this council's been notified of details, such as this Cajun trucking, and also we broadcast it through our journal, and we have no reason, we have no problem reaching out to every resident that it would touch to, just like we do with our BZA. Whenever we do some kind of zoning variance, we always send it to so many residents, I forget exactly how, within 500 foot or within such a distance. But we will amplify that, and we'll make sure that everyone's aware of it. But it seems like we're competing with information that residents don't want to. I've been talking about that Roxino. I've been talking about the Ford plant and development. I talked about the 30 acres going up for sale. Mm-hmm. I've talked about all these things since 15. Okay? That's when they closed, February 15. We're in our third year. And they have the building emptied out. I've said that 100 times. They have a lot of the environmentals cleaned up. I've said that 100 times. And none of these decisions have, you know, every time I get information, I share it publicly. At my mayor's meetings, I share them at my senior lunches, and I share them at these meetings here publicly with all of council. I mean, they can all attest that they have all the information publicly that we're allowed to share publicly, okay? But if it does go into your area, you will be notified. There was somebody going to expand the Indigo windows. They were going to put a 200,000 square foot in there, but we wouldn't let them because of the buffer. Now, we're not losing that business. They bought the Union Hall. So there is some opportunity of expansion, but we have to protect our residents. We have to protect the buffers and the drainage and everything else. So there's a lot of variables. Do you want me to embrace you with all the boring details? Because those details don't come to light till this council votes. I want you to understand that.
Well, I guess let me try to rephrase what I'm trying to say. I'm not necessarily talking about me as an individual having all of the information. I'm more concerned about what is the overarching village process for being engaged in economic development and redevelopment of areas, and then at what portion are the residents plugged into the process. I mean, I know you're the economic director, and we have a CIC, and then we also have an economic development committee, and I'm not, you know, I don't know how all of that interacts, where the committee does its work and whatnot, but I'm just saying, as part of redevelopment, at what point what is the village's role in all of that as it relates to talking with Ford, talking with MGM, including the residents? What is the overarching process for all of that? I'm just not talking about for me.
Okay.
If
someone calls to ask the economic director a question about zoning, variances, property available, incentive packages, I mean, there's questions almost every single day from people, from California, whatever. Okay?
That's good.
And when they call, we have these conversations, and then we say, please, we have a meeting on Thursday with a business that wants to expand in the village. We sit down with the professionals, people from the county, Jobs Ohio, Cleveland Partners, myself, legal counsel. We see what they're asking for, what they need. And then after that process, if it's something feasible and we can do it without changing zoning or ordinances or anything like that, then we go to the council with that direction. And then the council gives us their feedback. That's why we go into executive session. We go into executive session about economic development. And we discuss all these different options. Once council gives in their input and everybody's on the same page, then we move forward. Because I don't have the authority to just give out incentives. I don't have the authority to say I can give you a tax break, or I can give you 5 acres for free. It has to go through the council. So I'm the center hub, and this is the spokes on the wheel. And as I give them information, they tell me what direction they want to go. So you have 6 people here that give their interaction. And this has been going on since I've been mayor. And that's how we've been very productive, and that's how we've brought in 4 new businesses in this year. Now, we always bring it out to residents once the deal's solidified, because you have investors that don't want their name used because of tax reasons and everything else. And that's why we have these residents that hear this tonight, and they're not, I don't want to say confused, they're passionate because they have an investment in the village, just like I have an investment in the village. But I've never given anyone in this village a reason not to ask me, question me, call me, email me. I put my cell phone on everything I put out. So if you don't get the information, you have to make the effort to reach out to me as well. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't have the ability to reach everyone. We hired a group called Impact to help us start promoting these information pieces. We're going to eliminate their contract because we don't have the revenue. So once again, more burden falls upon me to make sure that everyone's informed. And Katie, I have to say, she's my right-hand person. And Bill Mason, he's the one that always keeps me legal and keeps us in the right direction. And those are the process that we do here in the village, and it's been very successful. And it's when you intergage with the billionaires and you intergage with the successful people, they like that one-on-one, and they like that conversation. But they also know that my boundaries are limited by council. And that's where this whole thing goes. You as residents, have every authority to voice your opinion or ask any question. We're not communist country. We do not shut down your information piece. But we're limited in what we can share publicly because of the environment of business pirating, people buying property just for investment. It's sitting there vacant. I mean, you don't want that. You don't want me to sell 10 acres to somebody that's sitting there because they know it's going to become more valuable and they have deep pockets. That's why we're very concerned, and that's why we talk about what can you do for Walton Hills? What is your long-term plan? What can we do to help you with incentives? And those are the directions that we use. The committees on this village council, this is your committee. Because no matter what a committee does, it still comes back to the village council for the final approval.
Sure.
So what we did was we streamlined it. Instead of having 15 meetings, we tried to do everything through COWs, and we tried to share every information we can so everyone's on the same page. I don't even let go of an employee until I sit down and talk to all this council. I mean, even though they don't have the authority to hire or fire certain people, I do everything by the book because that is the way I keep myself above board, and that's what I've been trying to be transparent and tell everyone, but it seems like there's still that misunderstanding. So there's no reason why you can't reach me. Has anybody on council had a problem reaching me?
No. Mr. Mayor?
No.
Not at all.
So I'm just saying that's the process we do. I hope I answered some of your questions. I rattled on a lot, but I'm trying to get all that's on my mind off. So you've been to my mayor's meetings. I'm very informative. I have a lot of knowledge, and I have a lot of input that we never experienced here in the village.
Right. And for the sake of the residents, I'll follow up with you with my, because I do have more questions for you. But as it relates to the inside millage, which is what I really got up to ask, the potential 3.3 increase is, and I know we talk about rollbacks. That's, we're looking at the 419 figure as being just what would be generated in 2019. And then what about the longer range view, 5-10 years down the road? And we're talking about things like sewers, pipes, roads, vehicles. What is the longer range projection of where we need to be in terms of bringing in increased revenue? That's, you can answer that now or later.
Well, no, our projection is like we said when we had the inside mill, or when we had the millage on the thing, that we needed approximately 4 years to get ourselves back on feet with all these developments and the things taking process. Guess what? We're 12 months into last year, and we're already got four new businesses. We projected that. We projected that, and we tried to convince our residents, put a four-year levy on that falls off that you have to vote for, and you hold us accountable. So when that 4 years expires, that levy's gone, unless we put it back on and ask you to vote for it again. That was our game plan. That was the whole thing we tried to describe at our public meetings that we had five times. That was everything that we tried to describe before we had to lay off any police officers, and it didn't pass. The residents didn't understand it or grasp it, and you had residents that made negative comments and false statements. And I just have to shake my head because I'm beating my head against the wall with these same residents that don't want to pay taxes, don't want to pay their trash, don't want to support the village, but they'll complain, hey, my brush is in my yard, when are you going to come get it? Hey, go through my brush and get the grass out of my yard. I mean, this is hilarious, but this is a conversation today with seagrass or whatever they call it, some kind of, I mean, but they don't want to pay anything. And those are the same residents that write the letters and make the negative comments. But our residents buy that. If they're going to buy what people are selling, then they're going to get what they paid for. I don't know what else to say. I hope I...
My goal is,
we're going to have more revenue in 5 years. That's our projection. I mean, council knows these facts, and they've seen the development, but it they have to cooperate, and they have to be willing to discuss this with businesses. If the First Energy property goes up for sale, there's a major impact to our village. It's 100 acres, possibly. It's 87 of... First Energy property and 22 of the property adjoining to it, so that's over 100 acres that could be developed. Won't impact our residents, but everybody has to be willing to embrace it. People have to be willing to embrace it. I can't date you if you don't want to go on a date. As simple as that.
That's not the analogy I wanted. That's I'll sit down on that one.
I want to say something. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr.
Cullen. And I won't comment on that one. But, Ray, you brought up a couple things. You brought up I'll give you an example, and this is many years back. Some of us were on council at the time. Before we heard, when the Roxino came in, before that got developed, right away we were worried about, you know, because none of us were really, especially in Ohio here, familiar with casinos. We were worried, well, someone, they get the casino, we get the red light district. You know, as you get educated, casinos are a little different than Vegas or different areas, so we were very concerned about that happening. This was many years ago, especially with a residential area, very close, similar to you having, you know, you got it right in your backyard, just like we do where we're at. So we went to work, council, and we got zoning involved, and we limited those type of establishments to what we could by law, okay? Because you know you can't discriminate. You got to be very things. So we worked with our law solicitor, our legal department, and our zoning. We brought in an expert on that. We purchased a piece of property here, right next to the little piece of property, right next to the store. Okay, and everybody said, "Why'd you buy that piece of property? You can't do nothing with it." By us owning that piece of property, we control the zoning of that whole corner. Okay, because you can only put certain things next to municipalities. Okay, it's like a school. It gives you some things. Got criticized on that, but we've seen the big picture. So just to make a point, when we do get that, we do kind of put our heads together, and we've been fortunate, council's past and this present, see that big picture. It's an effective way of being a council person is, you know, hey, we brought up a red light district, you know, and we changed the zoning. Then after that got developed, we said, well, you got that 110 acres there when Ford went out. You take that 110 acres and put all retail there, like Macedonia, we'll still be in the same boat. Retail doesn't give you a lot of money, okay? Put a residential in there. We all know residential doesn't give you any money. You see what you get from taxes, about $18 the village gets on a $200,000 house. So we said, boy, we can't let that happen. We did what we could with our zoning there. We spent a lot of time on it, put some things in there that if it were to go retail, would have to have an anchor store, would have to have certain things within the law, you know, because zoning's very... Mm-hmm. Thing, and we went to work on that, and we got a very good piece of zoning legislation there that will allow us probably to get some good paying jobs up there. It makes that very structured. So just to kind of let you know, that's where our thing was. And it comes back to the Crick Road area and that. I know since I've been on council, our industrial area is one area that this village really lacked in, and it's kind of, once it gets to that point, it's kind of hard to clean it up, and we've been trying to do that, but it's very hard. If it would have been structured from the beginning different, then it would have been easier to keep up. But it kind of became very industrial. So just to kind of let you know, Ray, on those things, we have been proactive when we have that opportunity. We've taken advantage of that. I get what you're saying, and just to feed off what the mayor said, because I know he gets very passionate, but being on council a while, when it comes to economic development, that's probably one of the trickiest things. And over the years, you hear this. You have a community right next to you, and they say, oh, we work well with that community. But when it comes to finding out that a business is moving here, they'll try to steal the business from you. Very, very common. And that's something the mayor totes. We get along good with the communities until it comes to money. We tried to get them, Bedford, to sell us that partial there, and didn't want to work with us too well. Okay, they work with us on a lot of things, but it's tough. So a lot of those things he doesn't even share with the council just because of the sensitivity of it. Like he said, it's very, everybody's in the same boat we are, and they fight for it a lot. That's why there's a lot more JEDs going on, more economic sharing, like Beechwood had to enter in to get eaten and things like that. So a lot of that stuff, I'm sure he'd like to tell us all, but at the same time, you got to protect the interest of the village and the interest of the investor. And I just, it's really tough.
Mr. Mayor?
A lot of times I get frustrated with them because I hear after the fact.
Thank you. Mr. Spitznagle, you could have to be shorter than Mr. Go ahead.
I'm trying.
Just to answer a couple of your questions, Mr. Wheaton, and thanks for coming up with those. And I do take your, I think we all take your comments as far as the proposed inside millage raising of those taxes to heart as far as educating the residents in the points of, and I think that was one of our, I know we put information out on the levy and things like that, but I you know, as Don said before, looking back and everything, you know, did we put it out in the right format? Did we, you know, you know, and I don't know the answers to that, and it's irrelevant probably at this point, but looking forward, we have to educate every resident. They may not like it, but at least they have the information on why, if we do choose to do that as a body, why that's being done. As far as the you made mention of the residents paying the bulk of the taxes, that is kind of true. If you look at just the total, but there's a lot more residents in Walton Hills than there are utilities. So if you look at it as a percentage of the increase. All right, and I'd be lying to you if I told you a percent. Probably Katie's got the can tell us more about the percentage of the increase, but they would pay as a percentage of the number that are in Walton Hills to the total amount that they are paying. They're going to pay a lot more of that increase than you as an individual resident are. See what I'm getting at? The overall, the percentage of the increase, there's a lot less of them. For example, how many utilities do we have in Walton?
One major one.
And they pay what, about $40,000 now?
No, if you look in the front of your, the first column on your
screen. Oh, right here, they pay $12,000 right now.
Doesn't that make you sick? Makes me sick.
They will pay $124,000 if we went with a 2.7 mil increase. If we went to a 3 mil, they would pay $137,000. So just that one entity is going to pay a large bulk of that increase. See what I'm getting at?
I do.
Okay.
Which I know. I have to interrupt you. But on
he's going to, though.
But on the levy, we would have got everything. We wouldn't be giving nothing to the schools or anything. That was the big.
Yes.
That was the big thing. Everything would have went where when you increase your inside millage, they still get a percentage.
No, they
won't get nothing.
They won't get anything.
That's right. You're right. They won't get anything.
And then the other thing with the Ford property, again, we have to remember that's not our property. It's Ford's. They can do with it what they want. We can only kind of try to turn the screws, and believe me, we're trying to turn the screws no matter which way we can to try to make it palatable for them to sell it. But what we did do is we changed the zoning up there to mixed use, I believe it is.
Right.
Mixed
yes.
use. And we had a lot of conversations about that. We brought in a zoning expert. And we didn't want it just, industrial. We wanted the opportunity for a vision, as you suggested, to make that something, make that a destination place, and that's exactly how it's zoned. Yes, industry can go back up there. We can, if Toyota wanted to go in there right now with 5,000 people, we'd love that. But the way that's zoned now is for a destination place that would attract people, as you said, where are these people going that are coming into Walton Hills, that would attract people. We've got zoning things in there that say, well, you know, if you want to put a business in there, that business can't be, you know, within so many miles of Walton Hills also. Like, we don't want a McDonald's up there. We don't want another Home Depot up there. We want something that's going to make this area unique and attractive and attract a lot of people and possibly work with the Roxino as an offshoot to attract these people and high-paying people. So that we did go through that, you know, two, three years ago.
Yeah,
now.
It took us 9 months.
But that's the essence of what we're trying to accomplish up there. The only stick in the mud is it's not our property,
yeah.
So we have to wait for them to move on it.
We controlled it so that we wouldn't have warehousing there.
I suggest
that was one of the number one things, and then the other thing was, as Brian alluded to, like IKEA. We wanted a building or some kind of anchor business that would have to be within 100 miles of a destination place. So we had specific language. We didn't want an Applebee's on the corner.
No strip malls.
We didn't want no strip malls like Macedonia, who's having a hard time filling there. So we brought in the professionals. We waited out 9 months, public meeting after public meeting, went through planning, went through Zoning Board of Appeals, went through all of council, and we had 3 public readings on it. And there's still residents that can't even tell you what the zoning is. And I know we educated people with that. So we've been ahead of the curve on a lot of this. But we're willing to work with any investors and anything that would improve our village but not impact our residents. That's what we're looking at.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Gloria.
To speak to Ray's question a little bit, as far as the Ford plant goes, when the Ford plant was in the process of closing, as the mayor said, a few years ago, he created a book, a notebook, that was everything about what's inside the Ford plant. How many electrical outlets there are, this or that, how it's heated, how's this, how many square footage, everything that he, and he sent it to different organizations and different people. And during the course of this time, we've had companies that wanted to build train cars, railroad train cars there. There's also a train track there that... but they wanted to build train cars. Fish hatcheries wanted to have fish there. Then we had 2 auto plants that wanted to come in there. We also had a hospital that wanted to come in there. These are all things that, you know, that through the book and everything, these people found out. Way to China, they found out that Chinese were in the mayor's office discussing things. So there's you know, we're giving Ford this information. We're telling them these people are interested in that, but Ford is going to sell who Ford wants to sell to. Zoning is the only tool we have in our toolbox, and we have a great tool. It's called mixed use zoning, and we give them incentives, as you said, CIC and different things. So we're offering a lot of information to these people and that, but Ford will make the decision who they want to sell with. And as we know, it's been sitting there because they know somebody's going to want that. So wouldn't you hold on to some property to see who's interested in it before you sell it? So that's just what's happening there, you know. So next door, all that's going on, and that's not going to just stay there dormant. Things are going to happen. The mayor knows things. We don't even know, okay? It isn't, we don't receive that information until it's getting close, because many things happen, you know, what they want to do, and it falls through. So, but he gives us the information, and as you know, you come to these meetings, and you come to this mayor's meetings, you can ask any question you want, and you learn about different things. 99% of you wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for Carr Brothers. You'd have no interest in coming here. If you want to know what's going on, you come to a council, a COW meeting. COW is twice a month. That's where we talk back and forth. Council meetings, we've already decided what we're going to do. We've talked about this,
yeah.
and we put in different meetings and stuff. So when you come to a COW, you'll find out everything that's going on in the village, and you can ask the questions after every line on there. The mayor gave us a list that he read that off about 4-year information. One of the other things which I feel makes us very unique, we've got an EMS sitting right in our own backyard. And there's a couple of you in this room who I know personally that 10 seconds makes a difference in life or death of someone when they need that EMS right there to get to their house. And you know who's there first? The police. Our police department, you'll see them right with them. They're the first ones to be on the scene when the call is out there. So we have the best of everything in this village, and I want to keep it that way. And if I have to pay $20 a month or $40 a month more, hey, it's worth it to me to keep the services that I have here and the people who perform these services and working with these people here that care about this village. That's what's important to me. So you keep asking your questions.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a seat before they ask more questions.
Hey, Mayor, I suggest a toll booth at major entrances to the village, too.
Any other comments about the inside millage? Seeing none. Council members, I would ask that next week we put it on for first reading, and then we can discuss it again in the month of May. Yeah, month of May. Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, and yes. The deadline is July?
Yes.
July, yeah.
Yes. So that's why we do three public readings, and then hopefully we'll come to a solid number we're all comfortable with and move forward. Okay? Everybody's okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Council, I gave you a couple memos that under other business. This is other business, council members. I gave you a couple memos, and I know there was some questions and stuff. Read the memos, and then I'd like to discuss it in May at the COW meeting, unless you want to go into tonight about the live streaming and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
And I figured we could talk about it in the times and everything. I have some details because of residents have asked me about times and stuff. Okay. So I would ask you to read the memo and review it. If I could talk about under other business, just to say a couple things we got going on. Council, I sent a memo out to the safety chairman, Mr. Linville, about our jail system. Did everyone get a copy of that?
Mm-hmm.
And it would cost us an absorbent amount of money to bring our jails up to par. So we are recommending from the state and from our police chief, and I'll take their recommendation and use it as a six-hour facility where we meet the standards for that. Everyone's okay with that?
Yeah.
We will start that as soon as this meeting's over, I told the chief. And then if we have to, we'll send them to Bedford jail system if we have to for a long term, okay? Most of the time, 6 hours, they get bonded out and then they're released and keep the bond until they come back to court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Does that affect, I know we talked, remember we talked about, you know, how we get reimbursed from the county and things
they
like that.
That.
We don't do that,
ago.
Yeah.
We stopped that 3 years ago, yeah.
So that okay.
We just never made any more investments mm-hmm. in that jail, and it's a, you know, everyone understands it's dated, and I don't think we should throw $150,000 into that.
Mm-mm.
Not at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to read off a couple of things that are taking place. April 16th, 50 plus club auction will be held in the community room. April 18th, meeting with the mayor in the morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's in the community building over here. April 18th, doors open at 6:30 and show starts at 7 p.m. Oakwood Village, Walton Hills and Oakwood Village host an inspirational concert at Mount Zion Church. We have currently 77 residents signed up. This is with Elvis Presley. I know a lot of our residents
dead.
Already signed up. Huh?
Isn't he dead?
No, he's not dead. Come to the show, you'll see. He's not dead. April 23rd, we are scheduling a CIC meeting at the community building. That meeting will be with the CIC members, and then we'll probably take a walk over to that house and see all the things that's been improved as far as painting. Our service guys have painted and stuff and cleaned up the graffiti in the house, and then we'll talk about, you know, the process of selling it and stuff, okay? That's April 23rd at 6 p.m. April 25th is a trip to the Fire Museum. April 28th, the Women's Club Craft Fair held at the Community Center across the way. No, this is at the building down on Alexander Road. I apologize. This is the Women's Club Craft Fair. It's at the community building, Carroll's building. I reference that. April 30th is senior lunch, and we have Kathy Kapuski coming to talk about homestead and making sure you're registered for all those things. The book club is on 7 p.m. on April 30th. May 3rd is National Day of Prayer. We are having it in our community building. All the churches have agreed to participate, and invitations are out to other outside of our community churches to participate. The Bedford schools will participate with their choir and stuff at our building. That's at 11 a.m. May 3rd at 6:30, we are hosting, along with Oakwood and the other communities, at our banquet hall. That's a, what is that, a Thursday, right. That's a Thursday night. That's a sports banquet for the high school, and they asked us to host it. So I'm letting you know that there's nothing registered for that date, and the cost is being covered by the other communities for food and stuff. All we're doing is giving up the building. Okay?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Gloria.
There's a, after that, the paragraph, it says the Walton Hills Citizens League. That's not, it's the 50-plus club is hosting an auction.
Is that in Carol's report?
Yes.
Okay.
Under the note, yes.
Yeah, that's another thing. Your report for the directors is in front of you. Mm-hmm. And also, your questions you had about the salt is in this package from your directors. About how many tons we use and how many tons we went through the season on stuff. It's all in writing there. So the bottom line is I'm going to ask for adjournment. I just want to make some... Oh, okay. There's a letter that was sent to all of council. We will be going through our state audit. It should be on your email system. If you'll answer the questions on here about fraud, and then when a gentleman comes in, we give it to him because it's got your name on here and your title. Unless you're aware of fraud, you know.
Yeah, if you want any help or have any questions, let me know.
Katie can help you answer the question.
Scan it and send it back. It'll either be from Kyle or Matt.
It's standard. We do it every time, every 2 years. So it's standard.
They emailed it to you directly.
It's not
probably
in the
mailbox, to your village email.
Probably your village email.
Yeah, so they're planning to start the week of the 23rd. The process normally takes about a month. They're here working on their audit. This is for 16 and 17. So that, just be aware, and if you want any help with anything or have questions, let me know.
And for taxes.
Katie, excuse me, for Katie, you gave me the name, but that's not the name that...
Was it Kyle who
it was
sent
Kyle.
It to you?
What's Kyle's last name?
Kiefer or something like
Kiefer.
That.
Kiefer. I'll send you
the
email.
Send it to me again, because that's who I want to address it to.
Yeah, that's the name come on mind.
Yeah, that's
on.
Kyle.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
In our packet, there was, or at least in my packet, there's a thing here on accessory use regulations.
I put the wrong one in there.
So that doesn't have anything to do with that.
If you look at Mr. Olin...
You said, I heard you said, I put the wrong one. Okay.
I passed out the new one. Do you have the new one in front of you?
Yeah, I do. I was just wondering if we were going to talk about accessories for some reason.
I didn't realize until the packet went out that it talked about the accessory bill.
Okay.
But other than that, just council and residents, we want to continue to be transparent. We want to continue to answer your questions. My email, I'm always available. I don't think anyone's ever had an opportunity to call me that they didn't reach me. But if you did, I apologize. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to work for you if you want me to. And that's the same way with this council. Every one of these council members have made a private investment in their lives, in their homes, and in this village. And I know that some people want to say, oh, they all get paid. Well, it equals out to about 45 cents an hour with the amount of time they put in and the amount of... All, out of this building, there's constant conversations. Every council member here has reached out to me or called me, and they've always gotten an answer. They've never gotten a delay. Brian doesn't like me, but he always gets an answer.
You don't always get the answer we want, right?
But he'll tell you. I answer his questions. It's not the answers he wants, but he gets the answers.
That's right.
But that's what we're supposed to do. Look at Bill get out of the way.
Made him blush, man.
I know. Hey, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So with that, can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
I make a motion to adjourn the CEO meeting.
Second by Mr. Linville. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, vote on the motion, please.
Councilperson Allen.
Yes.
Terlowski.
Yes.
Kolograph.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Yes.
Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Meeting's adjourned at 8:01.
Okay.